key.
Blog Talk Hopefully. Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, folks. We're not exactly sure how this is going to work today because I haven't been able to test my microphone to see if it was working, or if not, hopefully it is. But the signal today, for some reason, is really off the wall and not very well. Our weather has been horrible here. We had a snowstorm come through and was supposed to drop 10 inches of snow on us, but it only dropped a couple. But that's we've got ice along with it, but that's okay. This weekend, the partial government shutdown went longer than any other before. The first payday came with no money for government, some government employees, and now the media is all over it with, oh my God, we have people who have nothing but zeros on their paycheck stubs. How horrible it is. They can't pay their mortgages. They can't buy food. They can't pay their car payments. They can't do this. They can't do that. If we just think about it, these people make way more money per paycheck than most of us do in a half a year, if not more. If they didn't save anything for a moment like this, then they are just stupid. I know if I was making that kind of money, I would put some away to help for times like this, because times like this will always come. Always, folks. Nancy Pelosi has done nothing but complain and whine that the president is following the Constitution, following the rules that rule him. But since he is also a Republican, that isn't good enough. Obama doing the same thing would have brought no condemnation from any of them, including the media. Nothing would have been said. On that, I can guarantee you all. This is the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR as I've been calling it. I've got the chat room open, folks. Hopefully, my microphone is working. I wasn't able to test it, so I'm not exactly sure. I'm hoping it's working. So if it isn't, somebody coming into the chat room, if they come in there, let me know if it's working or not, because I would like to be able to know if I'm getting out today or not. But like I said before, this is the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR as I've been calling it, and I'm your host, Robert the Infidel, with today's show. Glad you are here with us on this, the 20th of January already, in the year of our Lord 2019. And now, on with the show.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Hour one of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding.
At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the Crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Hey, we are back. The call-in number to be on the show is 646-478-5284. If you wish to join the discussion today, welcome to the show. Last week, I started the show with the oath, or actually, it's been several weeks ago now, started the show with the oath of office that the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took when being sworn into office. To refresh your memory, here it is again. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. None of them have followed the oath they took just a few short weeks ago, even to the swearing to God that they did. None of them have followed the oath that they took. No matter what we say, my friends, nothing will change the way the Democrats are. They are un-American idiots, plain and simple. Okay. Now, on CNN, on the show New Day, host John Berman had Representative Mo Brooks, Republican of Alabama, on his show, and they battled last Friday over border security and the possibility of President Donald Trump declaring a national emergency to start to direct funding to build the wall. Berman opened the interview with Brooks, asking him why he thinks Trump has the authority to declare this situation a national emergency. Now, Representative Brooks said, quote, "because the United States Code says so." Now, to a law-abiding citizen or someone who loves this country and its laws, that would have been enough. But not this time. Give a listen to this idiocy.
That report, President Trump is moving closer to declaring a national emergency to fund his border wall. Several lawmakers support him, including Alabama Republican Congressman Mo Brooks. He joins us now. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. Why do you think the president has the authority to make this national emergency declaration?
Because the United States Code says so.
Now, this should be enough, but the liberal news host just isn't having any of the law in his argument.
You, though, have had a long record of being opposed to what you call executive overreach. The 2015 version of Congressman Mo Brooks signed on to an amicus brief that had real issues when the president, then Obama, used executive authority. Let me read you part of that. It says, "This is not a partisan issue. When one branch of the government unconstitutionally usurps the powers of another, it affects all Americans because it threatens the very core of our system of checks and balances that has served our government and America so well for so long."
This is a favorite liberal talking point. Bringing Obama into a so-called presidential decision that has nothing to do with what's being talked about here. But to him, it means everything to what is being talked about here.
The president can unilaterally change the law as he says he can. Why then did America's founders create Congress? Why does it appear you have one set of rules for President Obama and another for President Trump?
Well, John, once again, you guys at CNN are misleading the public. Those are different circumstances than what we face today. What we're facing today is a national emergency of major proportions, and Congress has delegated to the President of the United States the right, and it's expressed the United States Code. You can look it up yourself.
And as always, no matter what the congressman said, no matter what laws the congressman quoted, no matter what was said, Berman had his own ideas about what was going on, what Trump was doing that was bad when Obama was doing more or less, according to him, the same things when it had nothing to do with what Trump is doing.
The right to declare a national emergency under certain circumstances, this meets that bill. So if
why?
You want to talk apples
why?
And apples,
why?
Let's do it. But
why?
Don't make
what?
Up stuff and
why?
Try to mislead
I'm
the public.
I'm not making up stuff, and I'll get to why I'm not. What's the emergency?
Still not listening. Berman asks, what's the emergency? This is what they've been talking about. He knows what the emergency is. But Representative Brooks tells him, even so.
Let's look at 9/11 by way of example. We lost 3,000 people, more or less, on 9/11. That justified going to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and our troops are still there to varying degrees. 3,000. With the southern border, we have the loss of at least 15,000 Americans a year.
By what?
That's part of the justification.
By what?
You have 2,000 that are homicides mm-hmm. for doses.
Let me take
a
those
significant
statistics.
Amount of which comes across the southern border.
A
so
lot
how
of
many
it.
Dead people do you have to have, John,
let
before
me,
you're
let
considered
me take
emergency?
Those statistics. Let me take those statistics.
And this is a great question. How many dead people do you have, John, before you actually see what's going on? But John ignores it. And he continues on his tirade.
One at a time, yes. The predominant amount of heroin does come over the southern border, but the vast majority of it comes at ports of entry, number one. Number two, you said there are those people who have died at the hands of undocumented immigrants. Let me put up this chart. The crime rate among undocumented immigrants is actually less
that's
than,
bomb.
And this includes, and this includes.
I have looked at those
studies. This is from the Cato Institute.
I have looked at
this
those
is from
studies.
The Cato
if
Institute.
You want political
on,
propaganda,
on,
you
not,
go ahead and use it.
That,
but
this
I have
is from the Cato Institute,
studies,
a libertarian
each and every one
group.
Of them is flawed.
That, okay, so
each and every studies, one of them is flawed.
These studies,
I have
you
at.
Say flawed, but other people often lean on note that crime among undocumented immigrants is less than native-born citizens. I will ask you this: there is a high murder rate among native-born citizens. Is that a national emergency?
That is totally immaterial to the issue at hand.
Why?
The issue at hand is how many Americans would be alive today but for our poor southern border, but for illegal aliens and the homicides that they commit upon American citizens.
That
we have
homicide
too many American
rate, that
men,
homicide
women,
rate.
And children that are losing their mm-hmm. lives who would be alive today if
is...
we had a border security, if we had a wall, if we had the gumption here in
okay.
Congress to protect American lives,
you
and right now we don't with the Democrats.
You said the wall. Again, we're talking about drugs. Most, the vast majority, comes in at ports of entry, not between the ports of entry, not anywhere that a wall would be. I only know before,
John,
when you're talking
Dad,
about violent crime,
what,
when you talk about the crime rate, my question
what,
to you again, you're saying
what
people would be alive.
What comes in from Canada and what
you,
comes
you,
in through
you,
ports
you,
of entry is not the issue. The issue is what comes in across the southern border and whether we want to continue
you are conflating,
to enable...
Sir.
Okay. Berman followed up the response pointing out how Alabama congressman has been against executive action in the past. And Brooks replied this, and it kind of broke up there for a little bit. He said, once again, you guys at CNN are misleading the public. These are different circumstances than what we face today. What we are facing today is a national emergency of major proportions. This is exactly the truth. But the CNN host sit there after all of this was said. He says, what's the emergency? If you don't know the emergency, then you're not watching. You're not watching what's going on. You're not watching what's coming through that border. You're not listening to what has been reported down there. We've had terrorists get caught and stopped coming in. We've had a lot of people who bring children in who, if you stop and think about it, if they were American citizens putting the children into that kind of a risk, the parents would lose their children for neglect or abuse. But it to me, it's amazing. But just one day after the Democratic leadership denied that there was a crisis at our southern border, three illegal immigrants were arrested in New York for stabbing a 16-year-old boy. On Wednesday afternoon, the 16-year-old victim was eating at a Burger King in Long Island with his friend, according to WABC-TV. While they were eating, six of their classmates from Huntington High School entered the restaurant and began staring at them threateningly. Two of the teens left the restaurant, but were followed by these students who turned out to be illegal immigrants and MS-13 gang members. A fight broke out in the parking lot with the gang members wielding bats and knives. That's when 19-year-old illegal immigrant Ramon Arevalo Lopez stabbed the victim in the back, mind you. In the back. The stabbed boy was taken to a Good Samaritan Hospital Medical Center with non-life-threatening injuries, and illegal immigrants tried to flee. Police were able to catch the alleged covered in blood. Lopez and the other MS-13 gang member suspects, 20-year-old Nobly Montez Zuniga and 17-year-old Oscar Canales Molina, were charged with second-degree assault. Each of these gang members had been caught by the Department of Homeland Security in late 2017, but were later released by a federal judge. This horrific attack from three illegal immigrants came just one day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer once again announced to the nation their refusal to fund border security. And I've got things about them that's coming up. On Tuesday, Schumer slammed President Donald Trump's proposed border wall as ineffective, despite testimonies from border agents saying otherwise, despite testimonies from others saying how well El Paso is doing after the wall was in place there. It went from being one of the most violent cities to one of the most peaceful because the wall is there. The same night, Pelosi claimed women and children at the border are not a security threat. Really? Democrats want money spent, a lot of money spent, but not on border security. All this stuff that Pelosi says about how they want border security is a bald-faced lie. Nothing but. But there is a problem with the Democrats' position on this. And this should give you an idea of it. For one thing, I have another audio here. This one I will play after a little bit. It pretty much goes in the same lines, but this is going to be in my next story. President Trump is asking for $5.7 billion out of an annual budget of $4.407 trillion. To put that in layman's terms, folks, he is asking for $57 out of an annual budget of $44,070. Think of that. Imagine your other half saying, we're not going back to work. No allowance for kids, no bills being paid until you give up the idea of fencing our yard for $57. That's what Pelosi and Schumer have halted our government for and want to send billions for foreign aid before they give up $5.7 billion for their own country's aid. And my friends, this is totally childish on their part. And for that matter, calling them childish here is giving them credit beyond the years that they are really, really acting. This is getting totally ridiculous. We will be right back after these important messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
No one can really imagine
what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years. Their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home for emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. SAMFAM Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now we can only accept checks made out to SAMFAM Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sackau, Maine, 04072, and that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Advertisements I just kept playing. A nonprofit for families of American heroes is doing now is starting up a new news section that is called American Optics Unbiased News. Hopefully, if things go right here, I can be a reporter for them and maybe be able to make and produce the newscasts that are planned. This is something else I've been thinking of adding to my talents too. Also, when it comes to graphics, which I have had as a career choice since 1976. The problem I've been having is not in the broadcast itself, but the delivering of said message. I still haven't figured out how to do that one yet, as I don't have a one of those things that people use when doing these, you know, teleprompters. But I have methods that for delivering them to say the size of the MP4 that I use, which will be too big to do almost anything with. But hopefully I can get that taken care of fairly soon. From Conservative Tribune comes this one. And this one is the one that I was talking about earlier, one that shows the lies and hypocrisies of the left of today. All of what you hear in this one will be the Democrats telling us the same things that they are mad at Trump today for saying. Hypocrisy seems to be the main platform these days on issues like immigration and border security. It would be one thing if the left had a consistent message, but they don't. They still might be wrong, but at least you could give them credit for steadfastly believing in their principles. The opposite is true. Far from being a consistent stance on immigration, the very same Democrats who are now cheering for open borders and pretending that illegal immigration isn't a crisis had a very, very different message not so long ago. And this here is a perfect example in a video that goes back to 1994, folks. None other than Dianne Feinstein. Yes, the Democrat senator who is now implying that enforcing the border is racist. Here is what she said in 1994.
We can enforce our borders. I think we should enforce our borders. To have a situation where 40% of the babies born on Medicaid in California today are born of illegal immigrants creates a very real problem for the state, which is in deficit.
Look, of course you can enforce the borders.
Let me finish.
I agree.
We have 17% of our prison population at a cost of $300 million a year, the illegal immigrants who come here and commit felonies. That's not what this nation is all about.
Okay. Yeah, we can enforce our borders. I think we should enforce our borders. That was the outspoken liberal who declared just the other day that Trump was totally un-American and racist for wanting a border wall. She declared that, what you guys just heard a few moments ago on that video 25 years ago. Amazingly, Feinstein even brought up the issue of anchor babies, something that the Democrats are all saying us Republicans are horrible for because we want to split up families, send families back, send the babies back too. But that's what Feinstein was saying 25 years ago. But amazingly, Feinstein, like I said, amazingly, Feinstein even brought up the issue of anchor babies, more accurately called birthright citizenship, which she admitted was wreaking havoc on California already over two decades ago, folks. She says, to have a situation where 40% of babies born on Medicaid in California today were born of illegal immigrants makes a very real problem for the state, Feinstein strongly stated, which is in deficit. And their deficit today is a hell of a lot worse than it was then. But guess what? California is now the state with the highest rate of poverty in the country, thanks in part to illegal immigration and sanctuary city policies that attract them. But it gets even better. Although Donald Trump was slammed by liberals and much of the media for suggesting that illegal immigration often brings bad apples who commit many crimes, it was actually Feinstein who said the very same thing back in 1994. Quote, to have 17% of our prison population at a cost of $300 million a year to be illegal immigrants who came here and commit felonies? That's not what this nation is all about, she forcefully insisted back then. Wait. Isn't saying that many illegal aliens go on to commit felonies hateful and racist? Apparently, telling the truth about immigration was still fine with the last when Bill Clinton was in office, but now verboten? Any idea what's different? It's worth pointing out that it just wasn't Feinstein who was basically making this same case as Trump until he won the White House. Numerous other videos show the same thing. Numerous other audios show the same show us the same thing from other Democrat mouthpieces, from Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and many others. Give a listen to this one.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple.
That was Schumer. Do you need more? Here's more.
I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
And that was the Hildebeest. Even with these recordings, CNN and others are pushing for fact-checking on these recordings. Here's Obama.
We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked.
And there is more, yeah. Folks. We don't have to stop and take our brains out and wash them in order to realize here that they were for border security before Trump became president, before Trump was for border security. They were for it. Now, because of Trump, they're not. In other words, they hate this. They hate Trump more than they love this country, and they will prove it to everybody who will listen. And the sad part of this is, folks, most everybody who gets their news from the lamestream lying media believe it. If Trump said it, then it has to be false. There has to be fact-checking. Okay, so when the Democrats of today say that closing our border is inhumane and a horrible thing to do, why don't you all who believe this claptrap listen to what your precious Democrats said just a few decades ago? At least they knew what was right then and were not afraid to say it. That is the reason why I once would vote for a Democrat, but I wouldn't vote for one today. They have changed and become totally un-American in their thinking. And that's just the way it is today.
We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with precision and cutthroat accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, with his own business, the Matt Joseph's Investigation Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from its past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt is the one who has been hired to find out what is going on there, and without becoming a part of the nasty plan going on in the area. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. That's www.createspace.com/486-9187. It is also available in digital form, too, and on Amazon also. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Buy it, read it, and enjoy the reading experience again. Order Night Owls today.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
How do you know the government is too big and expensive? When public workers are earning more than those who are paying their salaries. Another way to determine its largesse and swelling price tag, when a partial government shutdown has very little impact on the population's day-to-day lives, yet they're hilariously told by the left how integral civil servants are to society and how they're selflessly sacrificing themselves to serve the public. Yeah, that just is completely wrong. But because of this dubious reasoning, we are told to weep for the 420,000 federal workers clocking in without pay and 380,000 furloughed employees during the shutdown, despite earning enviable compensation, and despite the fact that they'll get this money when the government starts back up again. But according to a new report from real estate firm Zillow, these civil servants owe about $438 million in rent and mortgage payments. Ostensibly, they were unable to set aside money for a rainy day despite earning enviable compensation. As a result, there are exports that many of these workers are using crowdfunding platforms to raise money while federal agencies are urging affected workers to negotiate with landlords, mortgage lenders, and creditors to avoid having their legs broken. The same situation unfolded during the previous shutdown. There were numerous reports of government workers on the cusp of filing for bankruptcy. This is ridiculous, but they're doing it, losing their homes, taking out loans just to survive for 2 weeks. This whole thing, folks, is about a year ago. I was 2 months behind on my mortgage, a year and a half ago or something like that. Okay, because of things that had happened, made it so that I wasn't able to make the payments that I needed to make. I'm still in my house, folks. I am still in this house, and I've gotten it caught up. And I don't make a tenth of what a lot of these people in government make. But I managed, and if I managed, they can. Suffice it to say, if these are the people handling your tax dollars, then no wonder there is so much waste, fraud, and abuse occurring on our dime. 2019, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to freeze pay for federal government employees, except military personnel. He also removed the annual adjustment of paychecks based on the region of the nation where the workers are situated. But the move isn't as horrific as critics suggest, considering that the U.S. has got some of the highest paid public servants in the world. Every year, compensation for federal, state, and local workers costs U.S. taxpayers nearly $2 trillion, and that's T with, and that's trillion with a T, folks, amounting to a little more than $15,000 per household. The nation's 2.1 million civilian workforce earns approximately an average of $55,000 per year, receiving an immense buffet of lucrative benefits and generous suspension plans. Thanks to powerful unions, they are still able to squeeze every cent from private sector employees who rake in an average of $48,000 a year. But that $15,000 must be generating a stupendous return on investment for you and your family, right? Well, think about the last time you needed to visit a government office. An entire day was wasted waiting in line trying to renew identification, file for a permit, or receive a passport. What's worse, it was a crapshoot as to what kind of clerk you were going to get, that surly person who just finished his three-hour coffee break, or that miserable individual filing her nails and loathing the public. Only way these employees can justify their positions is by spending your hard-earned money on producing documentaries about North Carolina's best fiddler and studying what bugs do near light bulbs. When they aren't participating in these projects, they are maintaining egregious red tape, harassing the little guy, getting very little done, and logging 12% fewer hours per year. Is it any surprise that 65% say job security is far more important than serving the public? It's certainly a case for a servant becoming the master. But who notices? Liberty Nation recently reported that businesses are maintaining Yellowstone National Park by restocking the washrooms with toilet paper, emptying trash bins, and even compensating staff. LN also reported that Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, staffers are calling in sick or considering new jobs because their paychecks are being delayed. And they don't even have to worry about anything, because once the government gets back on its feet and gets going again, everything that they're not getting now, they will get in a lump sum then. To paraphrase your typical progressive, if it weren't for the government, who will throw out a park's garbage? Who will inappropriately touch children and disabled seniors in the name of security? Anytime the government shuts down, we are told that the sky is falling, the economy is collapsing, and people are dying in the streets. Despite all this pearl clutching, normalcy persists. Coffee is being brewed. The children are heading to school. The cows are being slaughtered. Leftists are still screaming at the clouds to prevent and protest the president. Nothing has changed. Society is still functioning quite well. While President Trump's aim for the partial shutdown is to garner funding for a border wall, he also is successfully proving to the nation that many of these federal workers are superfluous, are unnecessary and not needed. Once a deal is struck, the government reopens, and let's hope not, many Americans will ask, what the heck are we paying for? Here is a question. If the government closes its doors for a week, a month, a year, would you even notice? The only reason why some of us would even notice is because they read the lamestream, liberal, lying media for their news. defender of the working class, champion for higher minimum wages, and forgetful politician who doesn't pay workers compensation during her 2018 congressional campaign. Folks, I give you Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Also known by the nickname AOC, new politician was fined by the state of New York for not providing coverage for her workers for a month. She hasn't been in office that long, and she's already being fined for not paying her workers? The employer did not have the required workers' compensation coverage from March 31st, 2018 to April 30th, 2018, and was issued a final penalty of $1,500, which was paid. State Workers' Compensation Board spokeswoman Melissa Stewart said, "This coverage is vital to ensuring workers are protected for on-the-job injuries." Hypocrisy at its finest, Jessica Proud, GOP spokesman, said. The so-called champion of workers, when given her own responsibility, is not following the law. It's unbelievable. Economically illiterate. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So far, AOC has not commented on the oversight. But one can't help but wonder if she will play the innocent and claim she didn't know any better. I would think she probably will. Will she say that she shouldn't be criticized because this is her first political campaign? As Liberty Nation's Andrew Morin reported that she had when challenged to a debate by the conservative commentator Ben Shapiro. It's no secret the political debutante lacks a certain knowledge. It's no secret that she lacks a lot of knowledge, actually. But she also lacks understanding of business. Despite her bachelor's degree in economics and international relations, she appears utterly oblivious to how the economy and the government works. LN's James Feit wrote, "She also thought the government paid for tax cuts, so why should anyone be surprised that she apparently forgot to make sure workers' compensation was paid?" And minimum wage. Ocasio-Cortez has shown her ignorance of economics time and time again. When the restaurant where she mourned the loss, not even realizing that the minimum wage hike she champions was responsible for 150 people, former co-workers, losing their jobs. "The restaurant I used to work at is closing its doors," she said in a tweet. "I swung by today to say hi one last time and kid around with the friends like old times." When the television host Trevor Noah questioned Ocasio-Cortez on the feasibility of a $15 national minimum wage and if it would stifle growth, she said she had these pearls of wisdom in response. Quote, "Raising the minimum wage to a living wage will expand the economy. It will create wealth in our economy, and it will increase economic activity in this country." Unquote. She also said that 40% of the country, or about 200 million Americans, make less than $20,000 a year. Fact check, according to Investor's Business Daily, the total number of working age people in the country today is 257 million people, and that includes retirees. The idea that 200 million make less than $20,000 is farcical. The website further explained that the median household income is around $57,000. That means half the households make more than that, out of which comes this question: out of which hat does AOC pull her facts? She cited Seattle, Washington as a desirable example after they raised the minimum wage. At the second installation of hikes, which increased the wage to $13 an hour, the average worker saw a decline in their pay. The math is not favorable. The average low-wage employee in the city saw his or her earnings decline by $150 a month last year due to the generous minimum wage increase, Investors Daily said. So how does AOC's former company feel about her push for higher minimum wages? The times have changed in our industry, one of the diner's co-owners, Charles Miltite, told the New York Post around the time the business closed its doors after 28 years in the city's food scene. The rents are very high, and now the minimum wage is going up, and we have a huge number of employees. Employment Policies Institute Managing Director Michael Saltzman, speaking to the Washington Free Beacon, added, Ocasio-Cortez's desired living wage of $15 an hour has been a living hell for many small business owners in New York who've been unable to offset the costs through higher prices. It's fine to mourn the impending closure of your former employer. It's better to understand the misguided minimum wage mandates that contributed to that closure. And there you have it. Another uninformed politician in control of our monies and policies. A woman who claims to be all about the average American worker, but can't even make sure her own employees or former employees or former working people who worked with her are protected by her policies. It seems this nation is going to hell in a handbasket, folks, and it's because we keep electing people like this to office. Period. BuzzFeed News interviewed Planned Parenthood President Leona Wen about her vision for the organization, but she took to Twitter to call it out for a headline that completely misconstrues her ideas. BuzzFeed ran a headline Monday, Planned Parenthood's new president wants to focus on non-abortion health care, inaccurately representing the organization's true mission, according to Wen. I am always happy to do interviews, but these headlines completely misconstrue my vision for Planned Parenthood, Wen tweeted Tuesday. BuzzFeed discussed with Wen her five-month listening tour. She will begin Wednesday. Wen will visit 20 Planned Parenthood affiliates across the country, according to BuzzFeed. Her first visit will be a Planned Parenthood affiliate in Ohio. As part of the tour, Wen will meet with clinic workers who could potentially serve at Planned Parenthood clinics to treat diet, depression, and opioid-related needs. The article's subheadline, however, still states Planned Parenthood is committed to providing abortions and reproductive care. But when in the interview itself, just how important the procedure is to the organization. FollowLifeNews.com is where I got some of this. And they, on Instagram, have pro-life pictures and latest pro-life news. But what we will always be here to do is to provide abortion access, she said, as part of the full spectrum of reproductive health care. It's who we are, Wen told BuzzFeed. In no way means we are backing down from fighting for abortion access or from the important political work our advocacy organizations do, she tweeted. Wen previously claimed the abortion organization offers life-saving care while they kill babies. and that the Planned Parenthood's work is about saving people's lives. No, it's not. It's about killing babies, folks. Wen assumed her role as Planned Parenthood president November 12, 2018. She was previously Baltimore City Health Commissioner and an emergency physician. While BuzzFeed might have attempted to give Planned Parenthood some positive press following a number of recent flops, according to afflicting the abortion organization, including its alleged discrimination against current and previous pregnant employees, Wen shut down that attempt. Planned Parenthood previously tried to distance itself from pointing to abortion as its core mission, claiming abortion services make up as little of its work. The Washington Post fact-checked the group's claim that 3% of all Planned Parenthood health services are abortion services, found the claim largely false, giving them three Pinocchios in 2015. Planned Parenthood, folks, for the most part, is nothing more than planned murder of babies who can't defend themselves. I guarantee you, if these people who want this was aborted during their gestation period, this would have disappeared a long, long time ago. And on that one, I can guarantee you that.
We will be right back after these important messages for the second hour of the show.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Okay, to start the second hour, this one from Patriot Chronicles. Remember this week that the Democrats have been fighting to keep the government closed while blaming Trump for it all? Well, about 30 of them went out of country for a so-called retreat or something. And they did it for something which was nothing more than a vacation paid for by over 100 lobbyists and staying in rooms costing $425 a night. Well, they were exposed for this by a photo of Representative Menendez on a beach with a hot blonde in a bikini. And now they are lashing back at Fox News for posting and telling the news on that one. Really? They have to continue showing how un-American they all are? I guess so. But here is the article. As many are well aware of already, the Democrats decided since the government was shut down, now would be a good time to take a vacation, and that's just what they did. the delegation of about 30 congressional Democrats flew to Puerto Rico for a performance of Hamilton, as well as some meetings concerning damage from Hurricane Maria. They claimed this was business, and even the president was criticized for calling the trip a vacation. But let's take a look at things, huh? What do you see in the photo that they had? Why, that's good old Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, shirtless on a beach wearing swim trunks. The senator thought it was unfair to report such a thing as him being on a beach during a government shutdown, which has now surpassed 3 weeks. Hannity.com reported Senator Bob Menendez slammed Fox News Tuesday for reporting on congressional Democrats' recent tropical retreat during the ongoing government shutdown, saying the network's coverage was neither fair nor balanced in covering the lawmakers' Puerto Rican visit. And it's not fair or balanced because it didn't show them in a good light. Now, if it had showed them in a good light, then it'd have been fair and balanced for them. However, another thing that's not being mentioned here is that there are also 109 lobbyists and corporate executives in these meetings that Senator Menendez must have conveniently forgotten to mention. The event is called a winter retreat and has prices for the tickets at either $200 or $350 for premier tickets. So you tell me, should we be feeling sorry for Senator Menendez and really think it wasn't fair to show him vacationing? I sure don't feel bad, because the evidence suggests that's exactly what they're doing, with a little bit of mingling with lobbyists on the side. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR, as I've been calling it, and I am your host, Robert Garding, with the second hour, or the second half hour of the third half hour of the show, with it's all about removing the liberal blindfold that the liberals so want there. Welcome back.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
Okay, we are glad to have you here. And the call-in number is 646-478-5284. If you want to join the discussion, the chat room is open. Flycatch was in there after a little while ago, but he's not there anymore. He said the audio is good, 5-5. So that is a good thing. I'm glad that it's working fine. And we are back with the last part of the show, without even being prompted, Ryan yelled out a question involving voter suppression after Sanders had called on another reporter in the room, and she did it repeatedly, put on the show that could only come from a CNN reporter. The two continued to spar, eventually leading Ryan throwing her hand up in disgust, a sure sign that she had been shut down by Sanders, at least for now. "Question because you choose not to call on me," Ryan fumed, seemingly unaware that the press secretary is not obligated to call on anyone in any particular order. Sanders passed on the question regardless, and Ryan tossed her hand in the air and whined, "That's all right, fine." As we said, just like a daycare, April was called upon later and hopefully learned a valuable lesson about waiting for one's turn. She probably didn't. But she finally said, "You did not mention voter suppression in that," Ryan queried. "Voter suppression has been an issue for decades. Is voter suppression now on the table?" Sarah replied, "We want to do everything within our power to protect the integrity of our elections. And we're going to look at that on a number of fronts. Guess that destroys that the won't or can't answer narrative, because she did and she could." "Oh, you're not going to answer that," Press Secretary Sanders declines to answer. "Think it's un-American not to be excited about the fact that more people in this country have jobs than they did before, the fact that more people in this country have higher wages than they did before, the fact that the economy is booming like it wasn't before, the fact that ISIS is being crushed like it wasn't before," she shot back. "These are things I don't care what party you are from. These are things that every American should be excited about and able to celebrate." Talk about an epic dismantling. Sarah Sanders destroyed April Ryan. Sanders is right. When the country does well at something, then it doesn't matter what political party you're from, but you should feel good and be excited for it. If the unemployment rates improve across the nation, then everyone should be happy about it. It doesn't matter who accomplished it. But if people are working more now than before, then it's an accomplishment to be proud of. Wouldn't you think, folks? Wouldn't you think? It seems the Democrats don't even care. They want to tear down our president like never before. They don't care that he's keeping campaign promises. They don't care that unemployment is lower than it has been in a long, long time. They don't care that Hispanic unemployment is lower than it's ever been. They don't care that black unemployment is lower than it's been ever, I think. They don't care about any of this. All they care about is that Trump is destroying this nation. No, he's not. He's actually doing what he was elected to do, folks. And this whole idea that the Democrats have their panties in a knot over this whole thing is ridiculous. Why can't they see this for what it really is? Why can't they see this, that Trump is doing good for this nation? But they can't. People like Cliff, who constantly comments crap on my daily updates, making comments like, "I need to get off my knees from adoring Trump," which, by the way, I found very, very obnoxious and offensive. But he doesn't care. he wants to say these kind of things because I don't agree with him. And it doesn't matter if Trump is doing what he said he would do when he ran for office. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that he's not getting his way, Cliff. But things don't always go your way. And it's like I told you in a comment after you made those rude comments to me, that I did not go after Obama like you go after Trump, even though Obama broke laws almost every day of his presidency. But that's also something that you don't see either. It seems like the Democrats, the liberals, and their lying, lamestream media don't seem to get that the American people voted Trump into office to do certain things. And the thing that they don't get is that Trump has done those certain things. That's why his base still follows him. Not because of all the obnoxious and horrible things that Cliff is saying, but because they finally got someone in office who is fulfilling campaign promises. And until that kind of thing stops, Cliff, until that kind of thing stops all of you leftists who hate Trump for what he's doing to America, until those things stop, the people will continue to support him, no matter what you say about it. This whole idea that everything that is going on right now is horrible because they're not your president. I don't know. This is really getting to me, and it's totally ridiculous that we have people who have such big microphones and such big mouths saying that Trump is destroying this nation when he is doing nothing illegal and he is doing nothing he didn't say that he was going to do. He is doing everything he said he was going to do, and that's why his base follows him.
We will be right back after these important messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our... a twig for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ag Council.
Okay. Trying to find... Okay, there we go.
No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years, their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home from emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. Sam Fam Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now, we can only accept checks made out to Sam Fam Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sacow, Maine, 04072. And that's S-A-C-O. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
Matters for the rest of us. Hillary Clinton no longer has a security clearance. A letter released from the Democrat or Department of State to Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, says she lost her clearance on August 30th at her request. The State Department also withdrew security clearances from 5 people Clinton had previously requested clearances for, as she had designated them researchers. One was Cheryl Mills, who was once the deputy White House counsel for President Bill Clinton, who defended him during his 1999 impeachment trial. The names of others were redacted. The mainstream lying media is treating the loss of these clearances as a move by Clinton to avoid a political snub by the Trump administration. Treating this security issue in such a purely political manner misses a growing problem that the media is purposely trying to ignore, as an honest analysis of it doesn't help their attacks on the current administration. Hillary Clinton should have lost her clearance back when the government found out she had classified information on her private servers. Actually, they should have done this even before that. She should have lost her security clearance when she left her public position as Secretary of State for her private quest to get the nation's top job. What other employer allows former employees to access their networks? Companies commonly terminate employees' email accounts and access before they even tell them they've been let go. But this isn't some private company. This is our federal government, an unfathomably large bureaucracy that has a lot of our personal information, top secret data, and so much more in its hands. All of this should focus our attention yet again on how wide open our government has allowed itself to become. While doing the research for my new book, and this is from from Fox News. Let's see, where the heck was I? I just went and moved. Well, I can't find where I was at. That is just awesome. But all of this, okay. While doing research for my new book, Spies in Congress, Inside the Democrats Covered Up Cyber Scandal, it became horrifyingly clear how open congressional offices are to insider threats. For instance, the group of House IT aides who made up what amounted to a spy ring didn't even have to undergo background checks to get their insider positions, jobs that allowed them to see and copy all of the emails and more from members of Congress they worked for. What other employer allows former employees to access their networks? Evidence shows that Amran Awan, the head of the group who was an IT aide working for Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Democrat from Florida, was spying on congressmen and even congressional staffers. The current IT aide who wants his name kept out of print told Anwan even used his own email address as the Apple IDs when setting up the staffers' phones. The only reason I can think of for why Imran would do that is this would have given him the ability to see everything these staffers were doing, said the House IT aide, a contracted employee who has more than a decade of experience working for congressmen. This IT spying scandal, however, was covered up as it only had to do with Democrats in Congress. The mainstream lying media apparently had no interest in pursuing the story, but they would have had all kinds of interest if it would have been a Republican. It would have been wall-to-wall, 24/7, all day, all night, for months, folks. But since it was Democrats that were involved in this, they had no interest. Consequently, a lot of people like Cliff, who I mentioned earlier, doesn't know about it because that is all he listens to. The liberal, lying, lamestream media. But this lax security is not simply a political story. It puts every one of us in jeopardy. A congressman whose private emails or other data are in the hands of someone who can blackmail or otherwise influence them is a risk for all of us. And without public pressure, it's next to impossible to know whether Congress has tightened security to prevent this kind of spying from taking place. We have got to start watching what our government is doing, because if we don't, this is going to get worse. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. We have to start watching what our government is doing, because it's doing so much right now that goes completely against any of our sensibilities as Americans. I mean, think about it. They want the border left open. But if you ask them point blank, do you want border security? To a man, to a woman, they will say, yes, that's important. But they want things like drones, something that can't catch everything, something that can be shot out of the air with nobody knowing it, something that can be gotten rid of without anybody knowing it. But they don't want a wall, because a wall is too permanent. A wall would stop people. A wall would stop the influx of people coming in. That is what the Democrats don't want. They don't want all these criminals and horrible people coming in. They want these people coming in because they will be a base for them to take over our government against the wishes of the people, because we don't matter to them. America doesn't matter to them. And that in itself, folks, should scare the crap out of every red-blooded American. There's only about 2 minutes left, and we are glad that you were here with us today. As we move into another week, we can be assured of one thing, folks. There will be more news that is befitting another show next week. Now, I've listened to some of the stuff that I have done. There has been breaks in what I have done. Hopefully, there's enough that people will know what I said, know what was being said. Hopefully next week our weather will be better, so I will have a better signal this show out back to a two-hour show. But I wish to thank all of you who listened to the show today, and I know I will be back next week, and know that I will be back next week. Same time, same network, same channel. Same unbiased news, or as unbiased as I can make it. Because what I report on, folks, is the news, not the lamestream lying media news that everybody else seems to be getting, but news that actually will tell what is going on in this nation. Until next week, my friends, God bless America, God bless our troops and Israel. And remember, as a friend of mine used to say, we will not be ruled. Have a great day. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you again next Friday, with the exception of my updates, which I do weekly weekdays. Have a good week.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly. and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Tell for Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'll brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
God bless you all.